Whenever we were in Nigeria, after a short time at the theological college where we were teaching, where I was teaching, we discovered that the daughter, young daughter, maybe up to about 4 years old when we noticed this, the daughter of one of our friends was on her way to maybe entering a life of disability because of a problem that we don't see. Maybe we've heard of it, but we don't see it so much in this country, but it can still affect children, called rickets. It's a bone problem due to the lack of vitamin D and calcium, and it can lead to the legs of the child becoming bent or bow-legged. And when that is established, that can be a lifelong and life-limiting condition. And however, Jean is a nurse, and many times we thank God for her nursing gifts and nursing experience, because she was able to notice this problem, and she was able to know that there's a solution to it if it's applied early enough. Get the right treatment, things can be recovered. And that is, in fact, what happened. And that young girl's legs, over a few years on the right treatment, became straight. And today she is standing straight and tall and active, not only physically standing tall and healthy, but spiritually also standing for the Lord Jesus. And this was such an encouragement to us as well as to her family, of course. And it was encouragement to us to see mission at work, because we care for the physical need, but we also care for the spiritual. We care about suffering in this life. We also care about eternal suffering and to deliver people from both by the grace of God. And in this case, this girl's life was changed. And this is an example of a thorn becoming a fir tree. The thorn, unproductive and prickly and difficult. The fir tree, tall and straight and useful to the society. And this is a picture that Isaiah gives us of thorns becoming fir trees. We're going to talk about that. But it's obvious, isn't it, that the world is in a mess. When you look at the wars, look at our TV news, the wars in Ukraine and the Middle East are threatening enough, but then there's the many other wars that hardly ever make it into the headlines, wars that are rumbling on. Like, did you know there's a war going on in Cameroon, a section of Cameroon? We are affected. Our literature ministry there is affected by that, and the people there are suffering. So, but it doesn't make the headlines at all, hardly ever. So the world is in a mess, and on top of that, you see environmental disasters brought about by climate change. Even recent events tell us that the world is not the way it originally was. Scott mentioned this. The Garden of Eden was beautiful, fruitful, peaceful, the way God intended it. But sin entered, and thorns have come in place of the beautiful fruit and vegetables and good things. And things are not the way they should be. The world has been spoiled by sin. How do we change that? What is there any hope of change? Changing the world, changing people, changing families, changing lives. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we feel despair. There's no hope. But there is hope. The famous evangelist, the Methodist evangelist, John Wesley, once said, "I believe in changing the world the old-fashioned way, one soul at a time." Someone has said, even on the practical level, you can't change the world for everyone, but you can change the world for some people, and that comes to the personal level and the soul, the spiritual dimension. And it raises the question, am I one of those souls that has been and is being transformed, being changed from what we would be without God, without Christ, into what he wants us to be? And that gives us hope for ourselves, for our families, for our societies, for our worlds. Even nations can change by the grace of God. So this is the encouraging message from Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah said, thorns are going to become fir trees. In place of the briars, there's going to be myrtle trees, fruitful trees, useful trees. Well, maybe Scotland, of course, known for trees. I don't know if there are any foresters here, but trees are beautiful, but there are some trees that are not so wonderful. I wonder how your garden is doing these days. Most of us maybe don't do a lot of gardening. We don't do a lot of farming. We're not out in the fields. We think of harvest. We think of the combine harvesters. We're not on that level, perhaps. But maybe we know people who are. But most of us, it's a fairly simple level. Maybe checking our greenhouse to see if those tomatoes have come on. Or maybe it's just tidying up and cutting the grass, cutting the hedge. But I don't know if you've ever tried to cut a thorn hedge. Maybe you find when you moved house that the new house was great, but there was a thorn hedge there. And if you've ever tried to cut a thorn hedge, it can be really trying. Some particularly trying. Recently, there was an overgrown thorn hedge in the development where Jean and I live in Belfast, and we asked to see if the council would send some workmen to help us because it's a kind of communal hedge, and we thought, right, let's see if they can come in. Well, the workmen came, and they had some saws and they had some equipment, but I met them just as they were finishing the job. In fact, they had given up on the job because they said, whoever planted that hedge should be strung up. You know how people talk. Because look at our hands, all cuts and everything. We're not making headway here. They, in fact, gave up halfway and they said, this needs a tractor to come in here with one of those big, strong arms that can reach out and deal with that hedge because we have given up on it. The thorn hedge to them was frustrating. And maybe you've had that experience. And if that experience of frustration and disappointment at how to deal with a difficult plant, a difficult hedge, there are other plants that sometimes, if you're not careful, they can take over your garden, or you find yourself having to get a chainsaw to come and chop them down. But that feeling, imagine God looking at his world and how he too has that feeling of disappointment with the world. I wouldn't say frustration because God is God, but he's patient as well, but at the same time disappointed. In fact, right back in the Garden of Eden, as you know, things began to go wrong. Did go wrong when Adam and Eve, our first parents, disobeyed God's rules, God's command. He said, don't. You can eat from any tree, but not that tree. He gave them clear guidelines what to do, what not to do. But they broke rebelled, and they did their own thing. And that was sin, and it led to trouble. And in fact, God came to them and said, there's going to be consequences. And one of the consequences, God said, was, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. That's in Genesis 3. So thorns are part of the evidence. The difficulties we face in this life are part of the evidence. The world's not the way God made it. And there's a fall, there's a curse, there's problems that we face in the world. Because of sin, there are thorns in God's garden. And another thing from that is that because of sin, When God looks for a good harvest, he's often disappointed. There's an interesting pattern about these, about harvest and about gardens and about thorns in the gardens. Not only in the Garden of Eden, but through the history, it's interesting that God called his people. He called out a people, and in a sense, he was trying to make them a model garden. I don't know if any of you have ever been to the Chelsea Flower Show, maybe just watching it on TV. But one of the interesting things, I've never been there. I'm not a particularly expert gardener, but I realized that they invite gardeners, expert gardeners, from all over the world to come and plant a model garden and show what can be done. And over in this corner, there's one gardener, and over here, there's a different garden, and each one has its own characteristics and beauty. And people come and get ideas and then go back and try and put it into practice. In a sense, God was doing that with his people, the Jewish people that he called out, children of Abraham, to be a model. Not that they were to be the only people for God. He was interested right from the beginning. These people were to be a blessing to all nations. One of the ways they were to be a blessing was they were to show how God's people could live together in harmony and in peace and in justice. And that was God's plan. And then we read in the beginning of Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 5, God came to his vineyard, or his garden, you could say, and he was disappointed. He was looking for good grapes. It says, Isaiah chapter 5, it says he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. It yielded only bad fruit. Of course, it was speaking about the moral behavior, or we should say immoral behavior of his people. Verse 7 of Isaiah 5 says, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but he saw bloodshed. For righteousness, but heard cries of distress. God was looking for fruitful lives, showing kindness to the poor, speaking up for the needy and the deprived and the aliens. And what did he find? Instead, he found injustice, cruelty, selfishness, all kinds of evil that was going on in among his people. And as a result of that disappointment, God said, right, I'm going to bring judgment. The prophets, you know, the Old Testament prophets, if you want to summarize the message of any of the Old Testament prophets, it's usually two things, judgment and hope. Bad things are going to happen, but there's hope. The bad things that Isaiah told them would happen first is that God would withdraw his benefits of rain and sunshine in the right amounts and would turn it into a desert and the thorns would grow. Instead, he would let the weeds, instead of the fruit, the beautiful fruit and vegetables, and instead of that, briars and thorns will grow there, he says in Isaiah 5. This is the judgment of God. Because of his disappointment, because he was rebuking his people and calling them to a different way of life. I wonder how we face up if God comes to inspect our lives, if our life was a model or should be a model garden, producing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and all that. Then what does God find in our lives? If we're honest, all of us at times must be a disappointment to God, even to ourselves, that we are not what we should be. There's things that we should have done, we didn't do. There's things we shouldn't have done, we have done them. We opened our mouth when we should have kept quiet, and so on. But if we listen to God, then there is hope. Judgment is against, if we ignore God, we're heading for trouble and we're heading for judgment. But if we listen, and if we know that there is grace, that is mercy, undeserved mercy coming from God, then there's hope. There's hope. And this is what Isaiah goes on to do. He promises, because of grace, three things that God does. God promises a better harvest. Thorns will become fir trees. Briars will become myrtle trees. There's a change coming. There's hope of a new harvest, a new day. And he says on that great day that by the power of his word, by the water, like as the water comes down to water the plants, as the word of God comes, it accomplishes what God pleases and it changes lives. And he says, you will go out with joy. Isaiah 55, we read that passage together already. There's this joy. You'll be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills. I love Stirling, the way Stirling is surrounded with mountains. But like Belfast, we've got mountains as well. It's lovely to be able to look out and see mountains. It says the mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. If you've ever been in Africa, you know Africans love to clap. We're not so, sometimes we look down on some churches and say, oh, they're happy clappy. They do a lot of clapping. Well, it's culture, isn't it? Africans love to clap. Here it says the trees will clap their hands. And these are better trees than the thorn. It's very prickly and very difficult. But the thorn, instead of the thorn, shall come up the fir tree. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign. You see, to God's glory that will endure forever. So Isaiah encourages them not to lose hope. God is in the business of changing lives. A close friend of mine, now late, was on his way as a young man. He was on his way to a nightclub. He was running away from God. He was living for himself and for pleasure. When suddenly, he almost had a head-on collision with a tractor coming in the opposite direction. He had a frightening and narrow escape from that accident. It gave him actually such a serious shock that he ended up in hospital just with heart palpitations and shock as a result of a near accident that he could have been killed. And he began to reevaluate his life. Where was he heading? What would have happened if he had died? And how would his life look in the eyes of God? And he turned to God at that time and he prayed a little prayer that you may remember, some of you might remember, we used to sing it as children. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. A very simple prayer, asking the Lord Jesus to come into his life, and that is what happened. And his life was turned around. Later on, he became a missionary, he became a pastor, incidentally also grew and grew to the point that he was about 6'5" or more, and a very tall guy. And he did come out and served alongside us in Nigeria for some time. And his life was fruitful. He was a thorn turned into a fir tree. And when we arrive over in the New Testament, that transformation begins to see it happening, individuals. That when, by the grace of God, not only is there the promise of the Old Testament prophets like Isaiah, but there's the fulfillment of that. When Jesus comes, a new harvest of transformed lives begins. Let me just mention a few examples just quickly. Well-known examples. Think of the woman at the well, divorced 4 times, not married to the man she's with now. It was a life in chaos, and we sometimes think that was all her fault, but there were those men who divorced her and pushed her away and so on. So her life was a sad life and a chaotic life, but she met Jesus and she realized that this man knew all about her, but he loved her, he cared about her, and had good news for her. A thorn became a fir tree and a witness to your own people. Think of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, that criminal, civil servant criminal who abused his power and robbed the poor, but he's curious to see Jesus. And when Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree, I'm going to your house today. And he realized that Jesus cared about him and Jesus could forgive him. His life was turned around. He gave half of his money to the poor and he paid back all the people that he could pay back that he had stolen from. So, by the grace of God, a thorn became a fir tree. A Scottish friend of mine just a couple of days ago posted a picture of a Bible, and it was a tatty Bible, and he said, this is the Bible I had when I was 19. I got this Bible newly because, he said, when I was 19, I was addicted, violent, and dysfunctional when I first started reading this Bible. I was in bad condition. The Bible was new. Now, 20 years later, he says, now I am made new, and the Bible is in tatters. Such is the power of God. Isn't that wonderful? God is turning lives around. Even the ones that are violent, addicted, violent, and dysfunctional, by the power of the Word of God. Such transformation happens by grace, and it can happen to you, or it can happen to a family member that you're praying for, caring about, trying to witness to. Because of grace, God changes thorns into fir trees. And finally, we can see that because of grace, God invites all of us to be involved in his harvest today. Jesus, with his disciples, saw the multitudes, the crowds of people following him. He looked at them, he saw their need, and he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I don't know if you've ever watched the guys doing the combine harvesters. Somebody was telling me they were watching combine harvester, and they saw the guy in the cab on his phone or something, an iPad or something on the phone. And they thought, like, is he not watching where he's going? And then they realized he was able to dial in there basically to tell the machine where to go. And it was doing the work and keeping a straight line, maybe even straighter than he could if he had concentrated all the time on the steering. So they have the equipment. They have the trucks. They have the tractors. They have the trailers. And they have the combines. And they love it, those young men, those contractors. They get a satisfaction from being involved and doing a good job and clearing the fields at the harvest time. And the families who are farming families also rejoice in such a harvest, to getting the weather, to get it safely homeward, to get the silage safely out of the fields. That joy of harvest, that satisfaction that comes from it, can be yours and mine if we're involved in God's harvest. There was a missionary who had an impact on our lives when he came to visit our church in Belfast. He was Scottish, Reverend Herbert Dixon, now in glory. And he'd been a faithful missionary for many years, and he loved Nigeria, and he loved going back even well into his 70s. And he had a saying. He loved the work so much. He said, who wouldn't be a missionary? He didn't say, like, who would? Who would dare? Who would have the nerve or something? No, it was, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to be involved? That was his attitude. He loved it. He loved the people. He loved the work. And if we have that heart for God's people, whether we're meant to be here, if our harvest field or our mission field is local, let's enjoy it. Let's take joy in seeing the needs around us and the people we can help and show the love of Christ to. And if it's further afield, then praise God. What a privilege to be involved in God's work. And one of the joys is seeing lives changed. We wish we could see it more, but if you're involved in God's work for a while, you will see changes. You will see what God does in answer to prayer. We had a number of people that we still in contact with years later that we worked with in Nigeria. I think of a young boy who, his name is Tertia, and he was homeless. He was sleeping in empty school classrooms at night. He was needy in many, many ways, but he trusted the Lord Jesus as a young boy. And he became such a hardworking student and then hard worker. He's now a professor in a university. He's been called even from that job to serve the country nationally in engineering and so on. And he's making an impact for God from humble beginnings, from difficult beginnings. Another thorn becoming a fir tree. And another girl that my wife particularly became a friend to, her name was Aisha, from a Muslim background. One day she had a dream and she saw a person that was dressed in white and was speaking to her. She thought it was Jesus. She had heard of Jesus. She went to a pastor to learn more about Jesus. And she came to trust the Lord Jesus, became a Christian, became the wife to a pastor, and is going on serving God as a pastor's wife. And another case, a thorn becoming a fir tree. One of my students, you saw on the screen earlier, Luke Avandi, a young man from a very remote area of Nigeria, needy area. He told us that in his village, the church, more than 100 people in the church, regularly little local church, out of those 100 people worshiping the Lord Jesus, only 3 had Bibles. Only 3 had house of Bibles. They didn't speak much English there. So one of his first tasks and joys was to take Bibles to his local church and other local churches in his area. And he was quite tall, but he was ready to bow down and put a box of Bibles on his head. The Africans can carry things on their head, stand straight and walk tall and carry a box on your head. Not easy, but he did it. And he became the first employee of Acts. And he was doing all kinds of jobs, cleaning, taking money, selling books, stocking books, and all the rest of it. And now he's managing over 50 staff in 20 different bookshops and visiting other countries as well to encourage the work of literature and the work of Acts, Kenya and Cameroon he's been to, and other places in Africa. And he's doing the work, a thorn becoming a fir tree and standing for God. So there are thorns because of sin. God looks for a harvest. Because of sin, he's disappointed. But he promises by grace a better harvest. When Jesus comes, lives are transformed, and we can be involved in that work. So today, I wonder, are you discouraged in any way? Discouraged that you see so little change, maybe in your own family circle, maybe in the locality or the workplace or the school where you are, you can become discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Look up. Listen to the promises of God. He can still change lives. He is still changing lives. Keep sowing the seed, even with tears. There's a psalm talks about that. They went forth sowing with tears, but then came rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. The joy will come and answers will come. So be encouraged. Thank you for your support for mission, for the global harvest. It is going on. It is much to encourage us, even more than here. But God bless you as you work in this corner of what we sometimes call God's vineyard or God's garden or God's harvest field. May God bless you here as you work here and as you also look out and listen to your TV news. Sometimes people don't want to hear the news. It's so depressing. But listen and pray. Pray for the people affected by the news stories you're reading about. Pray for the pastors who are there. Pray for the peacemakers. There are 3 P's. People, pastors, peacemakers, that they'll be able to make a difference out there. And we can do that. And we can see God at work. And may God encourage each of us to bear fruit, to bring forth that fruit of the Spirit of transformed lives. It'll be for our good and our joy, but also for His glory, even for eternity. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you. God bless you.